Hebrews chapter 5. I wrote down in my Bible, a religion that makes man look sick certainly won't cure the world. A religion that makes man look sick won't cure the world. And thank God we don't have a religion that, like the world talks about religion. We have a salvation, and we have salvation in our trust is in Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 5, and look at verse 5. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made a high priest, that said unto him, thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. He saith also in another place, talking about Jesus Christ being the son of God. And the reason why Jesus Christ, the Bible says he was made a little lower than angels. He came down and became a man. And he became a man so the sons of men might become the sons of God. Jesus Christ was made, he said, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. Talking about he begotten thee and not in eternity. The Jehovah's Witness try to say God was begotten in eternity. No, he was begotten in the flesh, in time. He saith also in another place, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Melchizedek, if you read your Bible, Melchizedek, he's the most unusual character in the Bible. Melchizedek was a priest in the Bible in Abraham's day. And the Bible says he neither had son or had mother or father. He had neither beginning of the days or end of days. So who in the world was that? A guy that was never born. Who is it? Melchizedek. That was Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. Yep. And Melchizedek was a priest forever. Jesus Christ came in the likeness of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, was heard in that he feared. Though ye were a son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. It's talking about Jesus Christ. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Not saying he was a disobedient child. Not saying that. But he's saying he learned obedience by the things he suffered. See, the devil would always say to God, you don't know what man's going through. You never was a man. You made man. And you don't know what they're going through in that old wicked world down there. And God became a man. And come born of a virgin. Came down to suffer like you suffer. Go through Monday morning. Going to work. You said, did Jesus work? Yes, he did. Did Jesus work with his hands? Yeah, Jesus Christ had more blisters on his hands than most men do today. He had blisters on his hands. Why? He was a carpenter. He worked with his hands. He was a man's man. And he wasn't a weak, sick-looking sissy. He was a man's man. And it says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears on him that was able to save him from death. He said this one time at the garden. He said, Lord, he said, Father, let this cup pass from me, but not my will, but thine be done. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. And that's what the Bible's talking about. It's hard to comprehend. God became a man, and God became flesh, and the Lord God suffered as man suffered. Right. He suffered. He suffered a horrible death as man suffered. And the Bible says he cried. Did Jesus cry? Did he cry? Yeah. Three times in your Bible is recording that Jesus Christ cried.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. People say, I was growing up as a kid. My father used to say, if you cry, you're a sissy.
Yeah.
I was growing, I'm determined not to cry. But I found out after Jesus Christ being a real man, and he cried, nothing wrong with weeping. Crying over the right things.
Yeah.
Not crying over you know, when you get drunk and carrying on, acting like a fool. And I've done that too. Laying in a ditch, crying, asking God to forgive me. But the Bible says he cried in tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Called of God a high priest after order of Melchizedek. So what is Jesus Christ right now? He is our high priest.
Amen. Amen.
He's making intercession. You can go to him anytime, day or night, 24/7, man, and he's making intercession for you. And what he wants you to do is call out to him. He wants you to pray to him. Matter of fact, talking about that, I want you all to pray for a young man that got saved here. Now his family won't let him come back to church. They said, we don't believe what you've been being taught. We don't want him to come back to church here no more. What's his name?
Bryce.
I want you all to pray for Bryce. That boy was on fire, 12 years old, wanted to learn the word of God, texting me, and wanting to know how to serve God. And now his family said, no, you ain't going back to that church no more. Learn those things. We don't agree with that. Why? What did they do? They drink and party, do drugs.
Yep.
Y'all pray for Bryce that God will bring him back.
Amen.
And it'd be a blessing to see that whole family get saved. And look at verse 11. It says, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing you are dull of hearing. You know, you can be sitting in here, and I've seen people do it time after time after time. You be sitting in church, and man, you just don't, you think, man, I've had people come up to me and say, why don't you preach a message on this? I said, I just preached it last Sunday. Where were you at? They said, I was there, but you know what? They didn't hear it. They're dull of hearing. And what happens is, if you're messing with your cell phone while we're preaching, there's something wrong with you.
Amen. Amen.
If you're messing with your cell phone, man, that's wrong. You hear me? You say, you're sitting there texting somebody and doing all that crazy stuff. I mean, people would be sitting in church messing with their phone. Man, God doesn't want you to do that. Why in the world would you mess with your phone? If you want to go mess with your phone, stay home, amen.
Amen.
Turn your stinking phone off, too, amen. I've had to do that. Turn it off. But it says this. It says they're dull of hearing. Now, it's amazing. Man, I've been pastor here 30 years. And I'm reading my Bible. I'm studying. I'm thinking. And the reason why you got to go over things. When I was in Bible school, they went over things and over things and over things. Why? What happens is you've got a memory. You're short memory, man. Short, you forget things. And then you get dull of hearing. You think, what happens is you're sitting there while the preacher's preaching. He said, well, I've heard that before. And I've heard that before. Then we turn our minds off, and we just sit there and stare like zombies. And we don't hear what's being preached.
Yeah.
And Jesus said, he that have ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. And you're supposed to listen to what's being preached, what's being said. Don't take nobody's word for nothing, man.
Amen.
You're supposed to, man, look at the word of God, listen to what's being said, and be careful. I mean, and we always look for something, you know, it's nothing wrong. I like to be funny, too. I like to be funny. I like to make crack jokes. And you know, people, to hold people's attention today, you got to be somewhat funny at times.
Yeah.
Because people turn you off. They're dull of hearing. If you're not kind of got animated, and in church today, preachers got to be animated for people to pay attention. Because, you know, in the old days, you think about this. One time, Justin got up and read Jonathan Edwards' message. And Jonathan Edwards, what he did when he preached that back in the 1700s, what he did, this guy just got up and read his message. I mean, just read it in a monotone voice in a church, and people started crying and started wailing. And man, they started falling out on the floor, begging God for mercy. That was a different day and age.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today, man, we're so caught up in the media and the cell phone. We got TV on our cell phone now. Man, don't you know that a lot of people are gonna get killed watching TV on their cell phone? Walking out in traffic, walking down the road, they're riding down the road, you know, just looking, watching the movie, and going down. I mean, there's people going to get killed from doing that. Watching on iPads. I go to the airport, and I get on a plane, and all these guys, all these people, I watch them, and I'm you feel like you're out of place or something. Everybody gets on there, and they put their headphones on, and they're sitting in their seat, and they bring their little iPad out, and they're watching a movie. And I'm sitting there looking around. Everybody's got something they're looking at. And what I do, I always carry my Bible.
Amen.
And I let them see I got my Bible. I open my Bible up. And now, you know what I might start doing? I might start reading it out loud on the plane. Amen. But I carry my Bible, and I make sure that people look at me and are, what is that? What is that? You know, and what happens a lot of times, people say, well, I don't want to carry a Bible. I don't want people to think bad of me. So what people do, they have their phone. They say, well, I got my phone. I got my Bible on my phone. I said, man, don't do that. There's nothing wrong with having your Bible on your phone, but carry your Bible. Amen. Let people see the Word of God. I ain't ashamed of it.
Amen.
People say, well, I got my Bible on my phone. I got my Bible on my iPad. I'll just read it there. I said, they don't know what you're looking at. But when you have a Bible, you got up there and you got a Bible, and you're, they said, what book is that? What are you reading, Bible? You know, it's just like you said, I got 38 in my hand. I'm going to blow your head off. They go, oh, man, they look at you like you're crazy. You carry your Bible, man. And I'm fine. If you don't have a Bible with you at work and you want to look at your scripture, that's fine. But I tell you what, I challenge you to carry a Bible to work.
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
And, I mean, carry it.
Yep.
Carry it with you. I mean, carry it to the school. Carry it down to school. They say, well, you can't have a Bible in school. That's a lie.
Amen.
That's a lie. You can have a Bible. You can have a Bible at work. I used to have wear scripture shirts. I remember my boss called me in. I had scripture on my shirts. My mother had more guts than a lot of men have. My mother would wear scripture shirts. My mother would wear, think about this. She wore a pullover and it had no hope in the Pope. And on the back it said, Jesus saves. And she wore that to the airport and got on a plane. My mother was bold, brother. I tell you what, my mother would put us to shame. Mm-hmm. When my mama got in, she was 80-some years old. We go to the restaurant. I go in a restaurant when we used to go down all the time, go down to, what did you call that place?
Golden Corral.
Golden Corral. And we go in, I said, Mom, she'd say, Alan, you got any tracks on you? And I feel naked if I ain't got no tracks on me. Yeah. Last night, my wife and I went to the mall. I said, man, I forgot tracks. I said, you got any? She had two. And I said, oh, man, I need to remember that. And so my mother, we went into the Golden Corral, and my mother, she said, you got any tracks? And I said, Mom, not now. Wait till we eat first, okay? And Mom said, oh, I will. So as soon as we sit down, my mother said, give me them tracks. And I give her tracks. She'd go around to every table and start talking. And she had me stand up 20 times. She said, that's my son. He's Pastor Faith Badger. You need to come to church there. And she would go all through that. She was not ashamed, man. She wasn't ashamed of the Lord. And, man, she listened what... Well, and sometimes when she came to church, if I preached something, I said something wrong, she would tell me about it later. After we got out of church, she'd tell me about it. And she said, you shouldn't have said that. And I said, Mom, I'm preaching, not you, okay? And but the Bible says, of whom we have many things to say, Paul writing, and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. You know, some people can't take them things that are basic. There's basic things in the Word of God that you should know. I mean, the virgin birth, you should know. I mean, eternal security, you should know in your Bible where it's at. If I said this morning, how many of y'all can give me a verse on eternal security? You know what? It'd be the same people that I know read their Bible. They would give me a verse. But what about everybody else? Could you give me a verse on eternal security? Could you give me a verse why we get baptized after we're saved and why baptism can't save you? Could you give me a verse on those things? Why is it that, I mean, that's, we preach that all the time. We go over it. Sunday school, we go over stuff. That's why I believe it ought to be in Sunday school.
Amen.
We go over stuff so you learn things. Folks, I'm not just here for my health. I'm not here just to stand up here in front of you and yell.
Amen.
I'm supposed to be apt to teach.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
For you to hear, for you to get something. Why? Because it's going to help you grow.
Amen. Yeah.
It's going to help you be a stronger Christian. It's going to help you get some roots down.
Yeah.
So when the storms of life come, you won't be tossed about.
Amen.
That's my desire, is see you get stronger.
Amen.
Strong Christians, you don't have to worry about them. You know what you got to take care of? I mean, big old tree out there, you ain't got to go out there and water it. But a little tree you plant in the ground, you got to make sure you care for that thing.
Yep. Yeah.
Amen.
And you can't wait till that thing gets where it takes care of itself.
Yep.
And if it bears fruit, if the type of tree that bears fruit, and the Bible talks about in the Old Testament that you couldn't cut down a tree that bared fruit. There's something in that.
Yep.
There's something in that. You, if a tree bears fruit, God said, don't cut it down. Look here. Look at Matthew or Hebrews chapter 5. Look what the Bible says. It says, for the time ye ought to be teachers. He says, there's a time you should be teachers, but you have need of one to teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and become as such as have need of milk and not strong meat. So he's kind of rebuking them. And he's saying, you ought to be a teacher right now. Some of y'all been in church for years and years and years, and when we say we need Sunday school teachers, you don't volunteer. We need workers. Nobody volunteers. Well, some folks do. But they say, man, I don't know nothing. Well, why not? You've been in church how many years? Have you been reading your Bible? It's amazing how somebody just gets saved and they grow and then they're up here preaching.
Yeah.
And they're studying the Bible and man, they're on fire. And they're winning souls and we've been there for 20 years. Ain't doing nothing. What happens is you say, well, they'll burn out. They'll get old. No, you know, sometimes they go on to better things. Sometimes they go on, God uses them in different places. And that's what we want. We want to see people grow up, get stronger, serve God.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says. He said, for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. People say, well, I just don't understand the Bible. I'm going to tell you something, folks, like Brother Kenny cracked me up the other night. He said, you ever seen, he said, kids on the PlayStation, and well, PlayStation's old, ain't it? Xbox. He said, man, you see a kid that's on Xbox, man, you can't talk to him. You can't, even adults. I don't understand adults being that long on them things. It cracked me up. He said, man, here's a man that spends 6 hours on Xbox and reads his Bible zero. He knows every little door to go through. He knows every little detail of Xbox. He knows how to get this and how to do that. And I mean, I just got this new cell phone. And Jesse kept saying, get an iPhone. And I told that, I said, Jesse, you're going to be an advocate for the devil, man, to have the iPhones. You're an advocate. And my iPhone, I couldn't figure it out. I messed it all up. I came in the house. I said, you stinking iPhone. I threw it at him. I threw that thing. I said, here, take this stinking thing. And I threw it at him. He goes, well, you just got to know how to do it. He had it all set up for me, made it easy. Now I can use it. Hallelujah. But I got mad, man. I threw it at him. And Jesse, he got on Facebook, telling everybody, the preacher came in the house, threw the iPhone at me. I still don't know that thing. I don't want to spend all the time to get to know it. You know, in the old days, the only reason we got a, man, you remember the big phones they used to have? You had to carry the big box around, and you had a big phone, and you call somebody, hey, guess what, I'm on a cell phone. And you carry the box, I mean, you had this big box you carried around, I'm on a cell phone, I'm on the roof up here working. And you thought that was something. But now you got a phone, man, you can watch TV, and you walk right off the roof with the thing. Good night, man. But the kids, they know that stuff. And when a kid tells you, I don't understand the Bible, I can't read the Bible, I can't understand all that stuff, but they know every detail. You give a kid, I've given my grandkids, and they put, I was down in Virginia at George Washington House, and Ruthie got a hold of my phone, and I looked like an old cow chewing on the phone. And I was recording myself. I didn't even know I was recording myself. And I had a toothpick in my mouth, had chewing on it. I was trying to figure this thing out. And they found it, started laughing, they put it on Facebook. And I don't know how many people commented on that thing. I thought, these people, they must be sitting there on the phone waiting for somebody to get on Facebook so they say, well, I like that. I love that. You must be walking around like this all the time. I'm thinking, man, people got too much time on their hands. And then they turn around and tell me, I ain't got time to read my Bible. When you ought to be a teacher, you need somebody to teach you again.
Yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
You ought to know your Bible.
Amen.
You ought to spend some time with it. He said, for such a time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which is the first principles. You see that thing? First principles. Mm-hmm. It's the first step. You ought to know about eternal security.
Amen.
You ought to know about those things. You ought to know what the Bible teaches about certain doctrines. We went through that. I don't know how many times we went through what we really believe. I've given it all out. Sunday school, we gave out what we believe, what we know.
Yeah.
Only a few people get a hold of it.
Yeah.
But it's not what I'm talking about this morning. Look at this, verse 13. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy for a Christian to be unskillful and been saved for years and have no spiritual sense. None whatsoever. My wife would say to me, you know, so-and-so, they've been saved for how long? And so-and-so been living for God this long, and they still do, they go back to doing the same old stuff? And they're dressing like they used to before they got saved? And they're doing all the same things they used to do before they were saved? What is wrong with them? My whole thing is that, well, let's pray for them. Pray for them. Pray, Lord, help them. I mean, man, God have mercy. It's hard to comprehend sometimes. It's a pastor. You know why so many pastors quit the ministry? They think, I had a guy I told you in North Carolina. I called him up and I said, man, he said, I quit. I resigned. I said, after 18 years I was here. He said, we wasn't going nowhere. And I said, how many people did you have? He said, 60 people. I said, well, you had 60 people that wanted to hear you, man. He said, well, I wasn't going nowhere. And I said, then that's your fault. You know what they say? A preacher's supposed to fill up with God, get filled up with God, and then, man, turn it loose. And if you ain't going nowhere, there's something wrong with you. Same way the Christian life. You ain't going nowhere, there's something you need to examine about yourself. You say, well, I just don't want to do it. Then now you're being honest. Now you're being honest. I just don't want to do it. So you just want to go back and let and throw it in neutral and live this Christian life in neutral. Guess what? You ain't going nowhere. In neutral, you don't go nowhere. Matter of fact, you're blocking traffic.
Amen.
You're just blocking traffic. That's all you're doing. You're holding up everything. Man, push the piece of junk on the side of the road and let somebody get by you. Amen.
Amen.
For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. I mean, no spiritual sense. And this is a marks. And look what else it says. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age. You know what I'm amazed about? I'm amazed how many Christians sitting in church on Sunday morning think of themselves that they're strong. And when the pressures of life come and the things happen in their life, they come apart. You know what they're like? They're like a recap tire. And when the recap gets hot, guess what it does? It's all over the road. And I'm amazed how many Christians think they're strong. And how they think they have a high opinion of themselves spiritually and think, I ain't nothing. I'm a great Christian now. I ought to have that position. I ought to be that guy. My son had a guy in his church just recently caused a big problem. The guy's wife died, 31 years old. This guy wanted a position in the church, and he was always, he would call Samson pastor, and then when he didn't get the position that he wanted, he got mad and started texting Samson and said, you are a dictator, blah, 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 Samson, and blah, blah, blah. And Samson said, man, he said, and then he started trouble on Thursday. His wife died on Saturday. And Samson said, texted him, said, I'm so sorry, brother. He's crying. The whole family crying. The kids are crying. I'm talking to my grandchildren, and they're crying on the phone because of this guy's family. They loved him. And the kids are crying. It tore my heart out that my grandkids are crying and all tore up, and they don't understand.
Yeah.
And Samson says, brother, I'm praying. Let me know when the funeral, whatever I can do, while for church in hell. The guy texts Samson back and says, I don't even want you to come to the funeral. Then the guy's wife's family came to Samson, called him up and said, how come you weren't at the funeral? He said, he told me not to come. He said he was going to have me escorted out. Samson said, Dad, Samson was crying on the phone. He said, Dad, I didn't do nothing to hurt him. Nothing. Because I love him. This guy came last Sunday morning, or Sunday morning before last. He came, the family did, and Samson showed him the text. The family said, The family said, we want you to come do a memorial service down to our church. So Samson posted it on Facebook. We're going to do a funeral for Sister So-and-so down at this church, down so-and-so. The pastor agreed. The guy put on Facebook, said, and text Samson and said, if you don't take that off Facebook, I'm going to have you arrested. I'm going to sue you. And then the guy shows up this last Sunday night at church. He came in. So all the people went up and hugged him. Told him they loved him. I said, that was the right thing to do, son.
Yep.
Guy thought he was something spiritual. He wanted a position. Thought he deserved it. And since he didn't get it, caused havoc. You know what that is? That's a baby. And people think they're strong when they're not. Right. Trials will test you. Mm-hmm. Troubles will come. It'll test you, see what kind of faith you have. What kind of strength you have in God. So, preacher, you don't know what you're talking about. Yes, I do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, our pastor of this church, our house burnt down. Our son got run over by a car. We've had all kinds of struggles and trials. I know what I'm talking about. People I love that's close to me, that I love with all my heart. The Lord took them home. And I said, Lord, we need them. Why don't you take the ones that ain't doing nothing?
Yeah. Amen.
Why don't you take them deadheads? The Lord said, I ain't through with them yet.
Amen.
These are made perfect. Look, it says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Marks of a baby, the marks of a baby Christian is very evident. And I've been here 30 years and I've seen it happen over and over and over again. A marks of a baby Christian is they get tossed about with every wind of doctrine. They get tossed about everything that happens in their life. They're ready to throw in the towel every time something happens. They're quitting. And the Bible tells us that we're soldiers. Brother Kenny was preaching about soldiers marching together, about getting behind David, our king. That was a good message. Getting behind the king. And remember, what we are, we're soldiers. We have one purpose and one unit. We should be one unit. Faith Baptist Church should be one unit. We have one purpose, to glorify the Father. And to see others come to know Jesus Christ. That's our purpose. See our missionaries. We had our missionary come by Wednesday night. See our missionaries get to the field and have what they need to do the job. But we have people that don't have the same senses. They don't have the same purpose. Why? Because all they can see, a baby, all they can see is themselves. A baby doesn't see anybody else's need. You put a bunch of babies in a room, and every one of them starts screaming because they all have needs. And the baby starts screaming, why? I walked by my grandson yesterday. I walked in the house, and I called him Chubbs. And Chubbs was on the floor. And I said, hey, Chubbs. And he looked up at me, and I said, love you, boy. And I walked away. He went, ah! Ah! And I turned around and said, what's the matter with you? She said, he wants you to pick him up. Babies always have this mark about them. Look in Ephesians chapter 4. Look at this. Look in Ephesians 4. Man, time is flying by. Ephesians 4, look at this. A baby has marks, a mark of a baby Christian. And Ephesians 4, it tells us this. It says in Ephesians 4, look at verse 1. We'll start there, always start at 1. It says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Notice it says children. Walk in love. Oh, man. No wonder it ain't right. There you go. All right. Appreciate that. I'm seeing four. All right. Look at Ephesians 4 and look at verse 7. For on every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive, gave gifts unto men. Y'all know what that is. Jesus Christ took paradise out of hell or down below. And now he ascended, that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth. He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers for the what? Perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. That's why God gave that, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, look what it says, no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You got to grow up to a point where you understand that God wants, your desire is for you to grow, for you to learn, for you to be more aware of his presence and be able to understand he's your father that cares more about you than you care about yourself. He cares about your welfare more than you care about yourself. But a baby is tossed about. A baby only can see themselves. A baby has, a baby's like this. I don't feel good. I'm hot. I'm cold. I don't want to go to church. I don't know. But you know what? When you become a man, you go in the military, they don't care if you're hot, they're cold. They don't care if you want to get out of bed. They don't care none of that. You better get up.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Why? You're a soldier. But he says that we be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may what? Grow up. What? Come on now. Everybody say it together. What?
Grow up.
You know what we say to our kids when they start acting? We say, grow up. When I play around with my wife, I joke with her. She'll say, why don't you grow up? Look at her, she's turning red. She said, why don't you grow up? You act like a kid. And I like to kid around with her and make her laugh. You know that's how you make a marriage last? If you can laugh at each other.
Yeah.
Well, I know she quit laughing a couple years back now. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up unto him and grow up into him. See what it says? In all things, which is the head, even Christ, of whom the whole body joint, fitly joint together, compact by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind. Your mind is your battlefield. Your battlefield. That's why Jesus said, the Bible says, let this mind be in you. What mind? His purpose was to serve. His purpose was to die. Let this mind be in you. Die serving him. Die serving him.
Yep.
Not my will, but thine be done. This is the purpose. Man, you get a hold of that and say, Lord, I know I have desires. I have dreams, and I want things, but God, I know my main purpose, why I'm here, is to glorify you and lift you up and see people saved. 2017, have you asked God to give you a soul? Have you asked God to help you grow to the point that you'll have a desire to see people saved? I mean, man, we have revivals. We have youth rallies. We have August meeting. We have vacation Bible school. We have our kiddie camp. We have teenage youth camp. We have all these. Why? To get you to grow up.
Amen.
Yeah.
Especially teenagers. To grow up. To be more like him. Now, teenagers got a desire. They're looking to the future. But if they look towards the future with God in him, God will give them the right wife, the right husband, the right life. Growing up in him. And that's what you say, Lord, don't let me make a mess. Don't let me make a mistake. My wife and I got married at 19. We decided we're going to live for God. We want to raise our children for God. Man, we said, Lord, and we prayed many times, Lord, don't let us mess this up. Don't let us mess this up. Sincerity. Look what else it says. I say that, testifying the Lord, that henceforth walking out, other Gentiles walk in the vanity of mind. And our minds, we get vain, having the understanding darkened, being alien from the life of God through their ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart. We talk about Jesse being blind, but Jesse can see far off. Jesse's not here today, but Jesse's blind physically, but spiritually he's not. We got people that can see physically, but they're blind spiritually. Children are marked, baby Christians are marked by they're tossed about. They're up, they're down. 2017, man, have you made up your mind? I'm going to stay up. I'm not going to be tossed about. I'm not going to be down, up, down, up. Down. He's like, you know, most Christians' life are like roller coaster. Boom, wham, wham. So, well, it's kind of fun that way. No, it ain't, man. Not as a Christian. Your life is a boom, up, down. And what happens is you think, and then you get to the place where I've really made it now. I'm really spiritual now. And all of a sudden you fall off. You get high-minded thinking that you made it. You better be careful. Look what the Bible says. Having to understand dark and being alien, verse 18. And the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of their blindness of their hearts, who being past feeling, there's a message in itself. People get past feeling. I've had people say this to me, I don't feel anything anymore. I don't have no feel. God doesn't touch me anymore. I ask them this, do you believe God wants to? Well, yeah. Do you believe that God doesn't want you to go on like that? Well, yeah. Well, how come? Why are you there? Why are you there? Past feeling. I liked it. Man, I got up this morning, man. I wasn't feeling hallelujah, we're going to church this morning. There's a guy on the internet that Jesse was showing me as a preacher out there, and he gets on the internet Sunday morning and goes, hey, glory to God, we're going to church this morning. Ah, glory. We're going to shout it out. I got up this morning going, oh, man. Yeah. And what happens is I start working and saying, Lord, and I start singing, and I start, man, getting fired up. And I get in there and start praying, and I start reading my Bible, and I go, yeah, amen. Yeah. Amen. And then I get to go to the hospital and see John and Bottomley's boss get saved. And I come out there, yeah, that's what it's all about. Amen. Seeing Christians get the victory. Amen. Seeing husbands and families being restored. Amen. Seeing children loving their mom and daddy and trying to honor God. And man, that's a blessing to see teenagers wanting to preach the word of God and wanting to see them do what's right and pray for the school to have revival. Amen. Man, I tell you what, that stir you up. I don't want to get past feeling. I don't want to get past feeling. I want to feel something. I want to feel the Spirit of God move. I want to feel the man, His presence. I want His presence in our church, man. I want His presence in my life. I want His presence in my home. I want His presence in the car.
Amen.
I don't want to go down the road and not have His presence with us. Children tossed. Mess them. You're a child. I say it's time to grow up.
Amen.
It's time to get closer to God. 2017, Lord could come back. I mean, He could come back in 2017. He said, well, I don't think it's going to be. I tell you what, you ought to live your life as if you was going to come back this year.
Amen.
Look what the Bible says. It says, and put off concerning the former conversations of the old man. All the wicked, old jokes, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Isn't that something, isn't that a strange thing to say? Spirit of your mind. Because your mind is your battlefield. And a spirit whispers in your head. It says, and put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speaking every man the truth with his neighbor. For we are members one of another. Be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Good verse on husband and wife. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more. I'm going to tell you something. If you're doing, you're lying and you're stealing and you're angry all the time, you ain't going to feel the presence of God.
Yeah, amen.
You're going to be past feeling.
Yeah.
You're going to sit in church and there ain't nothing going to touch you. Why? You got too many barriers, man.
Yeah.
You got to knock away them barriers. Children tossed. Go back to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews 5. Look at this. That's a sign of a baby Christian. A baby. I'll tell you something else is a sign. They glory in men rather than in God. I'm going to have to real quick just give you the outline. They glory in men rather than God. Some say, I'm a Paul. I'm Apollos. I'm of Christ. They're glorying in men. Paul said, are you not carnal? He said, you're not supposed to glory in men. You're supposed to glory in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I thank God for the preachers that we have, preachers that we hold in high regard because they love God. But I'll tell you what, we're not supposed to put them on a pedestal.
Amen.
We, at one time, we put a preacher, we used to go down to North Carolina, down there to camp, and we loved Brother Danny Castle. We put him on a pedestal. And Danny, man, I'll tell you, wasn't nobody preaching like Danny Castle. Nobody could, man, stir up a crowd like Danny Castle.
Yeah.
Man, we went down there and had 3,000, 4,000, and it was growing like crazy. I mean, we put him on a pedestal. You're not supposed to put preachers on pedestals. Why? Because the devil said, oh, yeah. I'll try to knock him down, knock him off. And I realize when a man's doing something for God and a young person doing something for God, I know the devil's like a roaring lion after them.
Yep. Yeah.
But you're not supposed to be like a baby putting people up high saying, this is the best. And Michael Payton used to come here, and Michael Payton's a pastor now. And Michael Payton, he used to get upset when somebody said something about Phil Kidd. Because Michael Payton put Phil Kidd up, and the guys, they knew Michael Payton would get upset over somebody saying something about Phil Kidd. And Phil Kidd was a preaching machine. And I mean, that guy was a preaching machine. And Michael Payton would get upset if somebody said something about Phil Kidd. And the guys purposely, they would start running Phil Kidd down. I had to go in and say, stop it, guys, stop it. Michael Payton, y'all said, you got the guy too high. You're putting him up too high in your life.
Yep.
That's a sign of a baby Christian. You put somebody, put a man way high. You're not supposed to do that. You're supposed to, man, not be that way. In the Bible, responding, we already talked about responding. They don't respond to the feelings anymore. They have a short attention span. We have church, we usually have church service from 11 to 12:30, about 12:30 right now. But most Christians have a short attention span when it comes to preaching. That's why, you know, most preachers only preach a message for 20 minutes now, 15. Now, we're doing funerals now. I told the guys, Brother Joe did a great job yesterday preaching Alex's grandma's funeral. Did a great job. I told him 15, 20 minutes. And I said, people have a short attention span. They had a little child. When he was preaching, they had a little child, and he was screaming and yelling. And we're trying to get that child. And that guy, we didn't get upset. I went and got the baby lollipop. The grandmother took the baby out, and I was talking to her about the child. And that guy came to me later and says, he said, can I come to church here? I said, you sure can. He gave me his name. He said, I won't be this Sunday, but I'll come next Sunday. He said, can I bring the baby? I said, yeah, we got a nursery. We can put the baby in the nursery. He said, the baby never been around other children. I said, well, they got to learn. So nursery workers, get ready. A baby's coming that's going to be screaming. And I said, well, the baby has to learn. They have to learn. And I said, our nursery workers don't spank them. But they'll scold the you-know-what out of them. But no, they won't do that either. Look what the Bible says. Look back, Hebrews chapter 5. Look at verse 14. But strong meat belongs to them that are full of age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. The Bible says some people are past feeling. But what happens is when you grow in faith, you should have a sense about you. People call it the sixth sense. But it's the spiritual, the Holy Ghost. You should have a sense about you to know something's evil and you shouldn't hang around it and you shouldn't be there. You should have enough sense that you say, hey, this is not right. And I'm not going to do it. That movie ain't right. I'm not going to watch it. I'm just got enough spiritual sense because I'm not a baby. I'm not going to watch that. I'm not going to be around that. Right after I got saved, I wanted to grow. I started growing. I worked with a bunch of roofers. And roofers are some of the dirtiest, filthiest mouth people you ever seen. Man, I was on the roof with them. And what I would do is take my Bible to work. And it'd be 15 guys on one side of the roof. And I'd walk over to the other side. And they would say to me, well, you think you're better than us? I said, no, I just don't want to hear all that filth. I'm not going to be around it. And I'd take my Bible and go sit by myself. And every once in a while, one of the stragglers would come out of there and say, hey, preacher, will you pray for my grandma? Or you pray for my mom? Will you pray for someone? I said, yeah, let's pray right now. I said, you're not ashamed. No, they would do this. Here's what they would do. Here's what they would do. They look around at those guys. Because everybody be staring. I said, will you be willing to get down on your knees right here? Let's pray for them right now. And what I would do, I'd get down on my knees, right in the rocks. Most of the time, they would do it. Yep. One time I was talking to, and I'm going to close with this. Oh, boy, I was on the ladder. They just started a new crew. I was superintendent. And we started a new crew, and this crew hated my guts. They were all drug addicts, and I witnessed to all of them. It was in Florida. I was going to Bible school. And a guy named Chuck was the head leader. Chuck had red hair, had a ponytail, his hair coming all the way down to here. So I didn't look at him, no, I witnessed to him just the same. Chuck had a beard, came down here. And all the guys that worked with him was all his friends. And I was on the ladder one day, and one of the boys came over. He's a big, tall boy. It was Chuck's right-hand man. We were starting a new system called Sonofil, roofing system. And we started this new system. And they had to tear the roof off. Then we had to put insulation down, screw it down. And then we went and put the Sonofil on top of it and had a welder. It's a welding machine that welded the material together. And these guys were doing that roof. And I was up there with them. And I got down on the roof. I was getting down on the ladder, three stories up. And I got down on the ladder, and the guy came over to me. I can't remember his name. But I said, hey, man, are you saved? And he said, he looked around to see what the guys are doing. He said, no, preacher, I'm not. And I said, why not? He said, well, my wife's saved. My kids go to church with her. I said, you know, it would be a great thing for you to go with your wife. She would love that. It'd make your marriage a lot better. And he hang his head. He goes, well, I'm just not ready yet. And I took my hand. I'm on the ladder. I took my hand. I said, would you be willing to right now to pray God make you ready? He said, yeah. He grabbed my hand. I prayed, God, you know what this guy needs. Help him to get ready. Not die and go to hell. Next morning, I'm at the shop. The secretary comes running out into the lot. The owners and I was standing out there, was doing something. She come running out. She says, a guy just fell off the roof. They just called a helicopter. I said, where? And she told me. I took off. I drove up Palafox, got to the job site. There was a helicopter landed out there. All those men were there. And Mr. Edwards, the owner, he was there, and they were telling him what happened. The boy was cutting from the night before. They had to seal the roof. And he's walking along this, taking a knife, cutting, backing up. And he thought there was a parapet wall. He walked right off the building. The next day, and he walked right off that roof. And I remember I came up and I said, and they were talking about what happened. I said, hey, I even said this to the owners. I said, we need to pray right now. I got on my knees. And all those guys fell on their knees. The owners got down on their knees. We prayed as the helicopter. But before the helicopter took off, I went over and grabbed that boy's hand. He was in pain, broke his hip, broke his legs, broke his back, just broke everything. And I remember I holding on his hand. He was crying. He said, preacher, pray for me. Pray for me. And I'm holding his hand. I go and I prayed, God, have mercy on him. Save him. God, be merciful. That helicopter took off. That's when I walked over and told the guys we need to pray. About a year later, he come pulling up into the lot. Got out of the car, his wife and him. He was on crutches. I went over and hugged him. I said, I've been praying for him. I went to see him one time in the hospital. And I looked at him. I said, after I hugged him, we talked a little bit. And I said, how you feel? And he was telling me. I said, are you saved? His wife looked at me. She said, he's saved now. I said, are you saved? He said, yes, sir. Amen. You know what happened to Chuck? Chuck came to church. I was sitting in church one Sunday morning. Chuck, the guy hated my guts, came up, tapped me on the shoulder. And I looked back, and he was sitting right behind me. And I said, Chuck, man, it's good to see you. He said, I'm going to start coming. I said, all right. Every Sunday morning, he sat right behind me. About the third Sunday, he tapped me on the shoulder again and said, will you go forward with me? I said, yeah, I will. We went up front. He asked the Lord to save him. Brother, we came to work Monday morning, 6 o'clock in the morning. He got out of the car, and everybody went, what in the world happened to Chuck? He cut all his hair off, shaved his beard. Now, I'm not saying beard's wrong. You see Tommy walk around like this all the time. He got saved and he started growing. Hey, man, you going to let a baby Christian just get saved, outrace you, outrun you, outgrow you? You going to let them do that and they're going to grow up faster than you grow up? It's time to be a teacher rather than being somebody teach you again. Amen. Father, thank you again for your mercy. I pray, my Father, you help us, help Faith Baptist Church. God, that we would be strong in the faith. And God, we would get stronger as the days go by. And God, we wouldn't revert back to the old ways. We wouldn't revert back to the ways that we used to live, the way we used to act.